This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. NBA draft was last night. Did you watch that, Callis? Of course not. That's the last thing I would ever think that you would watch.
No, hockey draft.
Hockey draft.
I like basketball enough.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know, can you name one player that was in the draft last night outside of Bub Carrington who played for Pitt?
No.
All right. There's a player right now whose son is in the draft.
Bronny James.
Yes.
I knew that.
Bronny James.
What's his name? Blake Hinson. Is he in the draft?
He is in the draft.
Look at me. Yes,
there you go. There's two. Yeah, two pick guys and LeBron James' son.
So he's the only one? There's no other pick guys?
No, just those two.
Look at me!
Yes, good job.
I'm a hero!
Good job. That's pretty good. Kyle, how about this? There was two French young men that were drafted 1 and 2. Two French young men that were drafted 1 and 2. I think that was the first time in a few years where... I don't even know the stat. I think they were like, you know, an 18-year-old or somebody that didn't play in college that went 1 and 2. But I think maybe in the top 11 or top 10 that there was three French guys. So, you know, foreign players, as we talked about yesterday with Whaley, they're really taking over and they took over this draft. But LeBron James's son, the Lakers picked at 17, I believe, last night. And everybody kind of rose up in their seat and was like, is this going to be LeBron James' son? Is this going to be Bronny James? And no, they went with the player out of, I believe, Tennessee. So Bronny James has a lot of pressure around him for obvious reasons. But there's a lot of speculation that wherever he goes is where LeBron is going to end up. Not that anybody cares about this here in Pittsburgh, but I do find it's interesting and pretty unique that LeBron has played long enough for his son to be able to play in the NBA with him. I mean, that is just unbelievable to have that moment to, you know, if he does get drafted tonight, tonight's the second round. Hopefully Blake Hinson out of Pitt. We'll talk about that with Pat whenever he gets here. Hopefully he gets his name called tonight. And we're going to talk about Bubba Carrington when Pat gets here as well. But, you know, Bronny James being in this draft, I think he would have benefited from another year. I think he should have, honestly, and this is all jokes aside, this is absolute truthfulness. I think he should have transferred to Duquesne. I think he should have played there a year, got away from LA, got away from the spotlight, played at a lower level, dominated, and then entered the draft. He had a very familiar face. I think his godfather is the coach at Duquesne now. So it's not like he'd be, you know, not close to any type of family. A guy that has been around him since he was born is the head coach at Duquesne. Dan Brott, who is very close to his family, who just retired as the Duquesne coach, knows him very well. It's only 2 hours-ish from Akron, where I'm sure he has family as well. So I do think that Bronny James could have benefited from another year of college, and I think he really would have benefited playing for Duquesne. And knowing what Duquesne did in the tournament – and knowing what Duquesne did this year, I thought it would have been a perfect spot. I do find it unique, though, that LeBron James is potentially going to play for his son or play with his son in the NBA. And I just don't, I really don't think he's good enough. I've been watching a lot of videos of him, just the explosion and just looking like a guy. He doesn't look like a guy. He just looks like a basketball player. And that's, you know, hey, listen, who am I to judge? But I just think that there's the people that are enamored by the name more than the player. But we were talking earlier about the certain drafts and which one we do like better. And I think hockey might be last for me because I just don't know that many guys. Like last year I knew Bedard. That's it. Going back into history, I mean, the 1-1 picks of me, obviously have Crosby. You know, just over the years, I just I don't really pay attention to it. But just what a moment in watching those kids have the opportunity to live out their dreams. And it is, it's not something that comes around all the time. And all the work that you put in, and these are the things, like whenever you're in your driveway and you're shooting hoops, or whenever you're in your driveway and you set up your plastic net with the plastic red pipes, and you have the white netting, and you put up your hockey net outside of your garage, and you're slapping those plastic orange pucks and plastic orange balls into the net, and you're just wishing that you could have an opportunity like those guys did last night to enter the draft, to have your name called, to pretend that you are Sidney Crosby, to pretend that you are Connor McDavid. You know, that is just, those are moments that you'll just honestly never forget. And you'll just realize that all the hard work you put in got you to that point. But a lot of people are obsessed with the word journey. They're obsessed with the, you know, the journey. It's about the journey. It's about the journey. But the journey usually ends. And that's where I just, I can't get with. Because nobody that is successful ever arrives. You never arrive at the end to your destination of the journey. Because if you arrived, that's whenever everything stops. That's whenever it stops. So you have to have the mental capacity and the mental nature to keep pushing. It gets harder whenever you get to where you're trying to go. But it doesn't stop there. That's whenever it really just starts. The journey actually continues and starts and re-ups whenever you do get to that point. And that's where these kids are at. Like, this is a fantastic moment. It's a fantastic opportunity. It is a lifelong memory that you'll have being drafted. But that's just where it starts. Now you have to go out there and prove that you're worth it of a draft pick. Yes, Cals?
That was a heck of a line by me, real quick. 7:09 for Pat Bostic.
That was.
Sorry to interrupt, but he just showed up. I set the line at 7:09, and he showed up at 7:09 and 15 seconds.
He did.
We both got the over.
We did get the over. So. And Pat is here.
How are you, Pat? Would have been 7:04 if it wasn't for that bus.
Was it Cal's bus?
No, it was a long bus. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
What's up, Pat? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. We had a good time last night. We had a bunch of pit season ticket holders together for Bub, and didn't get home till late, but it was awesome. Really, really cool moment, and anxious to talk to Jeff Capel later in the show.
Yeah, Jeff Capel joins us at 8:45, and I'm definitely anxious, and just seeing Bub and, you know, hugging his parents, hugging his family, and then Jeff Capel was there as well. Yeah. You know, that is just, you know, I was sitting there and I was waiting, and the draft takes long. It's 5 minutes. You're on the clock. Yeah. It's just like the NFL draft. And I'm like, okay, like Bub is going to go between 10 and 16.
Yeah.
And whenever I got to 10, I'm like, okay, here we go. Here we go. 11. Here we go. All right. You know, this is right in the realm. And whenever he got his name called, the smile that I had on my face, and you just cherish those moments. And I just know, and can, you know, talk about the experience that I had of his family going through that and hearing his name called and actually being there. But also, I mean, the guy's like 18 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest, the prices came out of every single player that, you know, is going to make some money. He's going to make a lot of money. I mean, life-changing. You know, 2 years ago, he's in high school.
Yeah.
In high school.
He's going to be playing in his backyard.
And he's going to be playing in his backyard. And he got drafted to Portland. They traded the pick to Washington, and now he's going to play in his backyard. I mean, that's just storybook stuff. And, you know, 6'4", point guard, I think he's going to have a fantastic career. But, you know, what was your emotions like whenever you did see Bub Carrington's name called? And, you know, he was a very proud Pitt player.
Yeah.
I do believe that he would have came back if he didn't get the evaluation. He did, and the evaluation was right, and he was right of entering the draft. I do believe that he wanted to come back to Pitt.
I think so, too. I mean, he bet on himself, and I think he – you know, he, Jeff Capel, his father, obviously, you know, is very connected in basketball circles in the DMV in Baltimore. He's got a, you know, relationship with Carmelo Anthony, and I think he had plenty of sources of information that informed his decision. I thought it was awesome that he had all his teammates up there. You know, he had all the returning guys there. Obviously, Blake's doing his thing. Hopefully, his name gets called tonight in round two. If anyone's watched the film on him, I would imagine he merits a draft pick. But yeah, I mean, it's watching him hug Coach Capel. And then I was with a bunch of people that, frankly, were still at games when in the dark days of the last probably 2 years back and then the 5 years before that, right? I mean, all through Jamie Dixon's departure, through the early part of the Jeff Capel era when Pitt basketball had fallen off the map and had a faint pulse. And this was another moment. You know, last season ended disappointingly in terms of not getting to the tournament, but to have a lottery pick, a freshman lottery pick.
Man.
You know, Steven Adams was different. I mean, that ended his freshman campaign was not emblematic of what his pro career was going to be. Bob Carrington started great, hit some adversity early, did not play well in early league play, and then just killed it. And I think it's another moment that is reflective of where this program's head, and I'm happy for Jeff Capel that he was able to be there with him. And I think it's symbolic. And obviously, it doesn't help you win any games in 2024-25, but in terms of where this program's headed and watching the people that were there through the highs of the 2000s and the lows of the teens and then are back, are still there now, I'm as happy for them as I am for him, and it's just a good sign moving forward.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit. What this, you know, and obviously we're very happy for Bub, and going into the NBA, and I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to have a fantastic NBA career. But let's get into what that actually means for Pitt basketball.
Yep.
Like, let's get a little bit deeper into what that means for Pitt basketball. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Dickerson, Cows Behind the Glass, Pat Bostic here until 9 a.m. Jeff Capel, Pitt men's basketball coach at 8:45, and Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette at 9 a.m. Pat, we got into it a little bit before. You know, last night, big night for Bub Carrington, big night for Pitt men's basketball. And one of the cooler moments was seeing his teammates there. And Jalen Lowe, you know, recording that video and them all supporting him was very cool. And, you know, that tells me something, that it's a tight-knit group, and that is – that's a little sign for heading into this season that, you know, you go there to support one of your guys, but you're all together and knowing that you're going to come back this year and being that tight-knit of a group and also having that fuel from what happened and transpired at the end of the season. You know, that was really cool to see, but also a good moment for what's to come, hopefully, for the Pitt men's basketball team. But the moment that really happened last night is whenever Bub got drafted and what that means for Pitt basketball. Now, his teammates were there. That was great. And, you know, those are the ones that are going to have to go on the court. But what does that mean for Pitt basketball? Like, if you're a recruit or you're a transfer out there and you see that and you see Bub Carrington's name flash across that screen and you see the school next to it and it says Pitt, like, Jeff Capel has done a fantastic job in the last 2 years. And now I think it's going to go through the roof. I mean, you have a lottery pick, 18-year-old freshman, point guard.
Yep.
That's big for the program.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, I think it's – and they've had a number of recruits in over the last few weeks, official visits and so forth, that are of that ilk, right, that have that potential. And, again, you go the whole way back to Steven Adams, Charles Smith. I mean, this is the third highest drafted player in Pitt history. It's a huge, I think, milestone for the program. What's going to be interesting is, you know, they've rebuilt this thing and they're kind of now phasing in the elite recruit again. And what's a good sign is it seems like the culture that Nelly Cummings and Jamarius Burton and Blake Henson most notably, right? I mean, Blake Henson's been he's been at the core of the last two seasons. He has been a huge part of it. He's been the drumbeat, the heartbeat. He's no longer there. And he was a reclamation project. So was Jamarius Burton. But to be able to still get guys like that, that are older, because the transfer portal lends that to you, and then bring in elite freshmen like top 150 guys, top 100 guys like Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe, and have those guys fit in, I think it's a really good sign. They found their persona, I think. And that is, that's important in sports, right? You got to know who you are. I think it's hard though, when you have success to then you open the door to a more talented player. Sometimes those more talented players bring added baggage, risk, and so on. Especially in today's world where you can get a 22-year-old guy as opposed to an 18-year-old freshman. So it's a great sign. I don't want to downplay it, but it's you know, it just puts the onus now on continuing to balance those two things moving forward, because they have a heck of a lot of talent going to 24, 25. They're not going to get picked at the bottom of the league, I can promise you that.
Right.
They got respect now. But they got, shoot, I mean, Jalen Lowe could be drafted next year in the top 25 picks, 20 picks. I tell you, don't sleep on Guillermo Diaz-Graham. You know, a 7-foot Spaniard that can play down low and shoot the three. He shot three at 42% last year. I mean, that's the NBA loves that stuff. If he was playing overseas, you know, in a pro league, unfortunately, he'd probably be more attractive. But he's over here. He went to IMG, comes to Pitt, and now he's going to potentially play the four spot with the kid from Florida State playing in the five. They're going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this is a great sign, and I think there's more of that to come. But it's even better sign when it coincides with winning.
93.7 The Fan and the Pittsburgh Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and 93.7 The Fan may make a stop at your field. Details at 937thefan.com, Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Will Blake Henson get his name called?
Man, I hope so. His workouts have gone great. I don't think that... Listen, I mean, I've been around, you've been around Pitt for a long time. I'm not sure that I've encountered a more interesting, engaging, better person and story than him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he can shoot the heck out of the ball. But he got in better shape last year. He incorporated a post-up game. That's not going to be the case in the NBA, obviously, the size and talent down there. But he just has something about him. And I was talking to Milan Brown, one of the assistant coaches, and he's talking to a couple scouts, and he just said, like, what do you think about Blake? And he's like, man, like, if the people that are making decisions actually watched your games, watch Pitt games,
right,
he has to get drafted. But, you know, again, this time of year, projection and youth, and especially in this draft. Look, I mean, you had guys, shoot, I think 10 of the guys were under the age of 20.
Yes.
Or whatever the number was.
And how many were from, about six were from a different country.
Yeah. I mean, so it's, you know, that kind of theme can take over. But I got a feeling he's going to get drafted. I mean, if I had to wager, I'd say he's going to get drafted, because I just think someone's going to fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's too magnetic of a personality and a player. Someone already has fallen in love with him and is like licking their chops because that he's going to be there at like 50 and they're going to take him.
Mm.
And they're going to get somebody that's going to play for a long time and is going to be able to make key shot after key shot.
Where did Champagne went in the second round, I believe?
I think he was undrafted.
Was he undrafted?
I believe he was undrafted. Hold on a second.
But he's
well. Bounced back and forth.
Right.
Yeah, that's another good story. You know, of a guy, and unfortunately for him, you know, during COVID, he went undrafted in 2021. He was at the tail end of a bad stretch for Pitt, but it was a great sign. I mean, he's in the running for ACC Player of the Year. But his game was such that, like, at his size,
yeah,
it was gonna be, he could shoot the three, but he just had that floater and ability to get to the lane and maneuver around a basket. But he's been back and forth. He's been in the league since 21, and he's kind of gone up and down with the you know, from the NBA to the pro to the G League on the two-way side of things. But he's another good story. More to come, I hope.
Yeah, I absolutely think that whoever calls Blake Henson's name is going to get an absolute stud. And I can co-sign on what you said. I had the opportunity. I think I might have offended him, though. I had the opportunity of meeting him in person during a Pitt game this past year at halftime. And I was like, listen, I think that you are going to get drafted in the NBA, and I think you're going to have a long NBA career. I absolutely believe that. And he called me sir, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I'm like, wait, oh, I am actually a lot older than you. And I was like, if that falls through, I do think that you should try out for NFL teams and try out for tight end. And he's like, you know what? I did have like 20 offers.
He did. I mean, I'm looking at his rivals right now.
Yeah.
You know, Daytona Beach, Florida, wide receiver, 6'5", 200. Top schools, eight offers listed here. Baylor, Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Miami, Michigan, North Carolina, SMU. I mean, that is legit.
Yes.
And the story about him, man, like, he was working for Instacart.
Right.
Playing pickup at a Planet Fitness. Think about that.
It's crazy.
2 years ago, man.
Mm.
And he was given a chance. And the thing I love about him and Bob, and again, this is anecdotal and it's right, it's mushy and emotional, but like they give so much credit to Pitt, especially Blake.
Yeah.
He's like, that play saved me, man. No one expected him to be what he became. And I think if you polled every Pitt fan that showed up to the Peterson Event Center, has been to games over the last 20 years, 25 years, they'd list him. And I did this exercise. They'd list him as one of the five most exciting players they've had a chance to watch because he'd pull up from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Wow. Bring the logo and just make shot after shot that just lit the place on fire. So he's one of the all-time greats and probably more so because of his story and where he came from.
Yeah, I really hope his name does get called. We're going to change some gears. We're going to change gears next. Steelers fans should be happy that it came out yesterday that Brandon Ayuk had a good conversation with the San Francisco 49ers. Steelers fans should be happy, and we're going to tell you about that reason. Next Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Dickerson, Bostic, Callis behind the glass. Callis, how you doing?
Feeling good today.
Feeling good? Feeling good? You excited for Pirates Braves?
I am, because I think the Pirates will do well. We already talked about that a little bit, but yeah, I think they're going to fare well against the Braves.
Think they'll win the rubber match?
Well, I hope they don't play in a rubber match. I hope they go for a sweep there, Pat. Yeah.
I love the word rubber match. The phrase.
I don't know where that comes from, to be honest with you. Do you, Dorn?
Where the rubber meets the road.
Is that it?
I believe.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I just...
No, I got to look it up.
Rubber match, like... It's like, I have no idea. But the Pirates have been in a lot of them and have messed up a lot of them. So hopefully, if they get in a situation this time around, that they win it and they do the right things.
The expression originates in the game of bridge.
Bridge?
A rubber match is the third match in a series of three.
What's bridge?
You never heard of the card game bridge?
It's a card game.
You didn't. You just shook your... Do you knew what bridge was?
Yes.
You just shook your... I was like, what is bridge? And you shook your head. You're like, oh, it's a card game because you just read it.
How do you play it, Pat?
I have no earthly idea.
Me neither.
We knew it was a card game.
I just know it's a card game.
Good, we learned something today.
Do you know how to play it?
I don't. I said that, yeah. No clue.
I'm not paying attention to you. Okay. Bridge.
Brandon Ayuk.
He had a good conversation with the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, and obviously he wants $30 million. They're offering $26 million, so they haven't met closely in their negotiations, and they've signed a bunch of players. Outside of signing him, and he's feels spurned a little bit, and that's kind of why his name's been brought up in a lot of circles of a potential trade, because you possibly can't trade, or you possibly can't sign him and pay everybody. Can't pay Debo, you can't pay Kittle, you can't pay Juwan Jennings. He just paid Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they have a lot of players on their roster that are paid or need paid that you can't pay everybody. So his name's been brought up, and rightfully so. And I think that if you're a Steeler fan right now. Actually, I know that if you're a Steeler fan right now, you should be happy that the conversations went well in San Francisco, because I've been told that if Brandon Ayuk had his option or his pick to be traded somewhere, it wasn't Pittsburgh at all. At all.
Doesn't necessarily surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me either. And I think that Omar Khan and the Steelers – try to make a deal with him throughout the draft. It fell through, but I think that was under the terms that the San Francisco 49ers were just going to trade him. Some instances, like even Justin Fields, he preferred to go to the Steelers. Like Kenny Pickett preferred to go to the Eagles. Some guys have a say if it's amicable of a departure. If it was that case, I've been told that Brandon Ayuk would obviously want to go play with his buddy Jaden Daniels in Washington, or there's other AFC opponents of the Steelers that he was definitely interested in the Ravens being one of them. So that's kind of why I'm saying, hey, listen, I'm not saying that this is end-all, be-all. Something miraculously could happen, and nothing is impossible. But from what I've been told,
Steelers, in his mind, were not on the radar. It was more Ravens, maybe even Browns, and another AFC opponent of the Steelers. So keeping him in San Francisco in the NFC is probably the best bet for the Steelers, because you don't want him going to another team that you would have to face or fight for a playoff spot to have another weapon like Brandon Ayuk.
No, I mean, certainly when you hear this information, it's you're happy.
Yeah.
That San Francisco seems like it's where it's going to end. And if you're San Francisco, I mean, if you're Brandon Ayuk, I mean, he's gotten so good in that offense. And listen, you're $4 million off. They're a Super Bowl caliber team. And if you're the San Francisco 49ers, you got to be thinking, this is our window. So you have to think they're going to go all in to the degree they can. Renegotiate with some other guys. Does a Bosa or somebody restructure?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But I'm not surprised. I think this is like prime time for posturing, right? I'm unhappy. It's just smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to leverage and get your number, and it appears that that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, like, who knows? Something could happen where, you know, the Steelers are the best option at the end of the day if it gets to that point. But I have a feeling that the San Francisco 49ers, just like you said, Pat, are going to work something out, because they know how close they are and they know what he could bring to the table for their team. But I also think, you know, they think that they're close without him too. But I would want to have Brandon Ayuk if I could get it to the right price.
Yeah, I mean, John Lynch he's been masterful.
Yes, he has.
In managing it, and he doesn't get talked about. He gets talked about a lot. Kyle Shanahan gets the bulk of the credit, but John Lynch he's built that franchise up from nothing. And obviously, they went through the Harbaugh years, and then it transitioned into Kyle Shanahan and this offense, and taking a guy like Brock Purdy and struck gold, which they're in a very fortuitous position there before they have to pay him to leverage the cap availability and lock some of these guys up, even if it's short term. But you know, this is a franchise, right, that the Steelers could be in that position at some point where it's like the Rams did, where you're spent out, but it's like all your chips are in. And I feel like they've got the type of talent that it doesn't surprise me that they're going to try to keep Ayuk and not and deal with some of the frustrations that they're dealing with right now. They're not going to get fed up with him and say, see ya.
Right.
They got too much riding on it. They got too much riding on it.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. When we come back, Pat wears a lot of hats. He does multiple things. And one of those things is calling pit games. And we're going to ask him if he's excited about somebody that's in that realm that will be calling games this year. Dickerson, Bostic, Kallis behind the glass here with you on the Fan Morning Show. 8:45, Jeff Capel will join the show, 9 a.m. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. Pat, I am I'm going to Kalahari today, right after this.
You know, that sounds like a different country.
It does.
And like when you first said that, I'm like, it sounds tropical.
Yes, yes.
Tahiti type.
Right.
Didn't expect it to be in Ohio.
Yes, in Sandusky, Ohio, where Cedar Point is. It's an indoor water park. And
so is it affiliated with Cedar Point?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just like right around the corner or whatever. I don't think it is.
Okay.
But
It's its own entity.
I've been to Splash Lagoon. I think that was last year or 2 years ago.
Are you
ago.
A water park guy?
No. No.
Did you see the pit lineman?
Yeah.
Go down
Pittsburgh Plunge.
Kallis, did you see this? Did you see the entire pit offensive line group, which is like 15 deep, went down? What's it called?
Pittsburgh Plunge.
The Pittsburgh Plunge. It's like a tidal wave.
You didn't see
There's
this video?
There's a bunch of 330-pound, 6'6".
In the boat at Kennywood.
Yes.
I mean, it was...
The wave that they produced...
I'm going to send it to you.
Yeah, you got to watch this.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've been there 1,000 times. I've never seen that water get that high and spray that much out of my years of going to Kennywood.
Was anybody over the rail? Where the
There was a couple people standing on the bridge there.
Here, Kallis, I'm sending it to you right now. You know what's great? In my phone, it is Nicholas, Harry, Callis.
Did you spell my last name right?
C-A-L-L-A-S.
Let's go.
I did not. My phone is C-H-A-L-L-A-S.
Chalice?
Chalice.
Chalice.
You know I am,
Pat. Like a drink?
Yeah.
That's very elegant.
It's fancy.
You're a fancy guy. Rubber match.
Pat, are you excited for Tom Brady being in the booth?
Yes.
Do you think that he's going to have to dumb it down?
No. Because
you know it better than anybody. Well, you know, talking football is one thing whenever you're talking to coaches, when you're talking to players, but not everybody understands that lingo, and you have to make the listener understand really what's going on. I'm excited for Tom Brady. I think he's going to do fantastic. I don't think there's anything in his life that he can't accomplish. Like, he's just built that way. But I do think that he's going to have to fight the battle with getting too much into the weeds of calling games and football.
It was funny. I was watching this yesterday. This is unrelated but related. You familiar with? You ever watch like Golf Central and Johnson Wagner, the guy that does the recreates the chips,
the shots,
and like shanked it a couple times. Yeah. And he was doing it was on a podcast, and it was fun. It was interesting. He was talking about like transitioning to broadcasting, and you know, it took me back a little bit because I'm like, there's two things that are really hard in calling games. One is TV's different than radio because TV, and you've done TV. TV, you've just got a lot more time. The audience can see the play. You don't have to describe the formation and the motions, the shifts, the whatever. I mean, the play-by-play guy's got to have more time on a radio broadcast. But you still have to be succinct and to get your point across without babbling. Like, I thought Gruden was great because I could understand him.
Uh-huh.
But his shtick was right, like Spider 2, Y Banana,
right.
And you know, 2 Jet X slant spacing and all that stuff. I think Brady is eloquent enough. Like, to me, he's more eloquent than Romo. And if he can be more concise, because I feel like Romo just blabbers for a long. I loved him early.
Right.
But like, and the predictions are great, you know, being able to foresee the future. I think Brady's going to be excellent. I still think Manning would be better. I think Peyton Manning would be, I mean, those Manning casts are like gold.
Yes, they are.
And that's the stuff that really sells, is like having fun with it. But the one thing, the other thing that's hard, that'll be interesting, because Brady is so good. He's so good. I mean, he's the best ever. So it'd be easier for him. But like Johnson Wagner was saying, critiquing your peers. Like when I first started, like you got on the broadcast and started doing this stuff 6, 7, 8 years after you played at Pitt. Yeah. Imagine you're doing NFL games and you're critiquing your peers.
Yeah.
I started doing it like I was 22.
Right after.
The guys I was playing with, I play with, were playing. And I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, so like Tino throws a pick, or, you know, Ray Graham fumbles or what have you. Like, how am I going to handle this? Because it's easy to be like, oh, that was terrible. You know?
Right.
But I realize how hard it is to play. But I told myself, and I think Brady won't have a problem with this because, again, he was the best ever, so everyone's going to respect his opinion. But if it was like, you know, Romo has, I mean, fumbled a snap on a field goal. Like, he's had plenty of warts in his career. Is I always tell myself, like, I'm not going to say anything about a dude that I wouldn't say to his face.
Right.
That's kind of been my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be curious to see if Brady just shreds people. Like, because you saw him at the roast. Like, he could be in I don't give an F mode.
Oh, yeah.
And just go. And if he does that, he's going to be as polarizing.
Oh yeah,
as he was as a player, but he's going to make a boatload of money, and he'll do it for as long as he wants to do it.
I think he will go down that path, but I think it will be every quarterback he's covering or he's calling. Like, he has been, if you look back in the last like year or two, he has been very stern on the quarterback play in the NFL and how drastic it's dropped. And how different it is. I think that he will go down that route, but he won't call out like receivers. He won't call out D-backs. He won't call out offensive linemen. It'll be directly towards quarterback play. Like, he made the wrong read here.
Yeah.
He should have thrown this pass instead of that pass. I don't know why he thought the coverage was this, because the coverage is that. I definitely, you're onto something, and it will be so polarizing, and he doesn't give a rip.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a rip if Tua Tagovailoa, if he's crushing him the whole game, and he has to walk past him after the game in the tunnel.
No. He's got the ultimate trump card.
Ultimate.
So it's like he's walking around with a S on his chest, man. Like, he's got nothing to worry about. But I think there's a fine line, right, between being really critical of one thing or stuff and explaining why. Like, and that's where I'm curious to see how he balances that. And it's something that I try to, and I think, you know, all of us try to balance, is like, anything, if you can explain in short form to an average viewer why something happened. I mean, it was one of the reasons that, even in a very like introductory form, I mean, John Madden's one of the best ever because he brought the Telestrator to TV.
Yes.
And he would circle stuff and make it understandable to you. You know, if the best ever, and he's not only the best ever because he's like, he's not like Barry Sanders where he's a freak talent, or like Lawrence Taylor who's just a freak talent. He's the best ever as a very average athlete whose mind was just special.
It's just so,
if
it's
he's
just so
able
smart.
To take that and put it into layman's terms, and I'll be interested to see, like, does he do other content? Does he do pre-recorded stuff and breakdowns? If he does that, I mean, I thought Greg Olsen was really good. I feel bad for that dude.
Me too.
Because he's really good. But Brady will take it to another level.
Like Greg Olsen would say stuff, like, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, he really knows the game. And Brady knows the game 100 times more than him. And not taking anything away from Greg Olsen, but, like, Brady's mind, like, he knew your defense better than the defensive coordinators knew the defenses.
Yeah, plus, I mean, Tom Brady's, like, tailor-made for TV.
Yeah.
Like, the dude just looks it. I mean, he's just going to... he's going to be really, it's going to be fascinating. I'm interested to watch it. I think he'll be really good. I'm really curious to see what route he takes. Because he could, in today's world, man, you go scorched earth and just start ripping dudes, people are going to eat that up, man.
Eat it up.
And he'll be getting paid $60 million a year at some point to call games.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up next, let the speculation ramp up, Pat. Let it ramp up. A lot of speculation going out there right now. Of course, there's always is, especially around Steelers and Steelers quarterbacks. First, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 89, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 84, low of 66 with 60% chance of rain.